In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and as always, it's great to be with all of you. Top of the morning. And we'd like to always start off our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the mother of the church. And Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. Furthermore, when we pray the Hail Holy Queen, we invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's invite Mary to be with us to pray for us and to pray with us, so that we would, in our lives, grow to love God more and more every day of our life until we get to heaven. So let's pray the prayer that she loves most, and that's the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's invite our spiritual director to be with us. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has many titles. He's known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. He's also known as the Sweet Guest of Our Souls. He's also known as our Consoler in the midst of our tribulations. He's also known as our Counselor, giving us good advice. He's also known as our interior master or teacher. St. Paul uses these words. He says, we don't really know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans. These ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to be with us to pour light into our intellect, as well as to set our hearts on fire with love, as we pray the traditional prayer to the Holy Spirit. That is, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady Queen of the Rosary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. Saint Francis de Sales, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So how true it is, my friends, that the family that prays together stays together. And that's the way we start off our conversation every day, by praying together. We invite our friends to be with us, and that would be the angels and saints. Start off by praying to Mary. And then we pray also to the Holy Spirit. We pray to God's holy angels. We pray to a litany of saints. So we're in good company. Better said, we're in the best of company. So part of our perseverance family, is specifically that would be our heavenly family. So to encourage all of you, I promise to pray for all of you and your intentions, and I'd like to place you on the altar in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. No doubt, the greatest of all prayers, that exists is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It's the Opus Dei. It's the work of God, which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ offers himself to God the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. So my first intention, I'd like to be praying for all of us that we would be docile to the Holy Spirit. We'd be docile to the Holy Spirit. We might even say this prayer during the course of the day. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. My next intention will be that all of us will keep growing in our faith. We might even call it our permanent formation. So that we would carry out our role as parents who are the primary teachers of our children. To be able to transmit to our children the fullness of our faith. That means that we're perpetual disciples sitting at the feet of the Master Christ, learning. And one of the purposes of our perseverance family is an ongoing education for us in our faith. We can always learn more. We can always go deeper in our faith. My third intention is I like to pray in a special way for the conversion of sinners. When I say the conversion of sinners, it's a very expansive topic. Because the first one to be converted should be ourselves. But we all know family members who have walked away from God. That's right, they've walked away from God. But there's a very special category of people. And we, those who are dying now or within the next few hours, and these are the deathbed sinners, and they're living possibly in the state of sin. That through our prayers they would open up their hearts to God's mercy, beg for God's mercy. And as a consequence, to be saved. So those are intentions. Now, given that we are in, Saturday is a day in which I like to go through the readings with you, as is our normal course of events. But Saturday is a day in which we honor Mary, I say especially in the month of October, in the month of May. May is the month of Mary. May is the month of Mary. May is the month of Mary. But also, October is the month. October is the month of the Holy Rosary. May is the month of Mary, and October is the month of the Holy Rosary. So, today I'd like to start off by showing you a picture of my new book that I invite you all to purchase. And my book came out about 2 weeks ago. It's called The Compendium of Marian Devotions. So I'd like to show you one of the beautiful paintings and tell you the story of this saint related to Mary. So here we have this beautiful picture. See if I can center it. There we go. A little bit closer. As you can see, this Mary is looking down upon this man dressed in clerical garb, and he's writing down. You can see the other side, it says the memorare. So this is my chapter on the memorare. Okay, look at that saint there. I'd like to tell you the story of the saint to whet your appetite. The very heart of this book would be cultivating love for Mary by getting to know devotions that we can practice in honor of her. It's like giving our mother a bouquet of roses, if you like. So that painting and chapter is chapter 19 in my book. It's a story of this man that had very serious problems. And he was living in France about 450 years ago. And he was influenced by a false theological system that was spreading like wildfire. It was called Jansenism. Jansenism came from a priest, Jansen, who basically said that few would be saved. There was just a special group that would be saved. Few should receive communion. Priests could easily deny absolution. Communion should be received only very rarely. You shouldn't smile or dance or be happy because that's not becoming of a follower of Christ. So this young man was convinced that he was not going to be saved. Consequently, he could not sleep at night. He was losing a lot of weight. Until one day he wandered into a church in Paris, Our Lady of Victory. And there in front of her was a prayer . And the prayer was to Mary. The name of the prayer was the Memorare. The prayer was the Memorare. So he knelt down and prayed this prayer, the Memorare. To Mary, according to tradition composed by Saint Bernard. And it's almost as if a cloud of darkness that had been enveloped in this cloud of darkness seemed to disappear. Then the light seemed to shine in his path. He experienced renewed hope. And he went on to become a priest. First got his degree in law, then a priest, then he became a bishop. Then he became one of the greatest writers in the Catholic Church. The name of that man is Saint Francis de Sales. So you can see this picture of Saint Francis de Sales. He's looking to Mary, and he's got his pen, he's writing down. So Francis Sales attributes, he's being saved from this pit, a real pit of almost despair, as a result of the intercession of Mary by him praying the Memorare. And then, as a priest, he would spread often the practice of praying the Memorare to Mary. So, if you find yourself going through a state of desolation, you find yourself going through a state of real darkness, then turn to Mary. Turn to Mary. Pray the rosary, but also pray the prayer of the Memorare. And that dark cloud that seems to be enveloping your whole existence will disappear. And it can disappear quickly. Desolation can be turned into consolation in a matter of 1 second. Remember one occasion I was sitting in an airport in New Hampshire, ready to return to Los Angeles after vacation. Now I was sitting in the plane. It must have been about 6:45, 6:50 in the morning. And the whole airport was enveloped by a dark cloud, a mist. And I honestly thought that we're not going to take off on time. We're going to take a long time to start off because the plane couldn't start with such a dense mist. But we could hear the clear and the encouraging voice of the pilot saying, "Do not worry, we'll get off on time. That cloud of mist will disappear instantaneously as soon as the sun comes out." But that's exactly what happened. The sun broke through the clouds, and as soon as the sun broke through the clouds, that dense mist evaporated in thin air. We took off on time. That's exactly what Mary can do with us. When we're enveloped in a deep mist of desolation, through Mary's prayers, the mist of desolation can dissipate and disappear, and the light of God's glory can beam on our path. So that's our Marian note in honor of St. Mary in this beautiful portrait of St. Francis de Sales with Mary. And the chapter that follows is on the Memorare. I invite you to all, God willing, to purchase my new book, The Compendium of Marian Devotions. It's already been a sellout in our parish, but we've got new orders that have already come in. So you can even go to our parish, St. Peter Chanel, and buy it, or order it online. 10 publishers. It'd be a great gift, birthday gift, Thanksgiving gift, Christmas gift. Buy not only one copy, buy a couple. There's a lady that's already bought 20 copies to give to her friends. The more, the better. The more the better. All right, my friends. We have moved from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians to the letter of St. Paul now to the Philippians. Finish this beautiful, beautiful letter to the Ephesians. One of the captivity letters where St. Paul was actually writing in prison. Now we move into the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. I would like to just glean one idea from the letter today. It's from Philippians 1, chapter 1, verse 18b to 26. In which St. Paul expresses an interior conflict that he's going through. An interior conflict that he's going through. Struggle. And this is what he's talking about. That Saint Paul wants to leave this world. He's preached, he's written, he's suffered, he's rejoiced. He's lived, after his conversion, a long, fruitful life. Basically, he's saying he wants to be with the Lord. In other words, he wants to die so that he can live. That's his conflict. He wants to die physically so that he can live spiritually forever in heaven. It's a real conflict that he's going through. And he says, for me, it's much better for me to die because then I'm going to be with the Lord. He really longs to be with the Lord. He wants to go to heaven. But he goes on to say that, yet that if I remain, the flesh is more necessary for your benefit. So see, he's divided. He wants to go to heaven. At the same time, if he stays living in his body, that this is going to benefit the people all the more. So, discerning it, St. Paul says, I'm ready to spend more time on earth for your benefit. But when the Lord takes me, I'm ready. I'm ready to go to the house of the Father. I've always found this passage to be fascinating because Paul, he really wants to go to heaven. He has his eyes set on heaven. However, out of charity and love toward his communities, he is willing to spend more time with them. And I think it's a certain attitude that we should all have in this sense, that All of us here on earth, we're pilgrims on this earth, heading toward our eternal home, our eternal destiny, our eternal home. We're pilgrims. We should have an earnest longing, yearning, hunger, thirst, desire to go to heaven. That should be part of our spiritual DNA. We should have a real longing, a strong longing to go to heaven. When we say thee, our Father who art in heaven. But we should, while we are here on earth, we should do as much as we possibly can to grow in a relationship with God and to be instruments of salvation for many other people. And as St. James says, he who saves a soul will save his own soul. But Paul teaches us this real yearning, hunger we should have to go to heaven. And that means we should meditate more upon heaven. Next week we're going to have all souls, but all Saints Day. All Saints Day, we think about the saints in heaven and how we should long to be with our friends in heaven. Let me tell you this story. I think you're going to like this story. It's a story in the life of St. John Bosco. St. John Bosco, when he was studying to become a priest in Turin, in the seminary there, he had a very good friend And the name of the friend, his name was Luis Comolo. And Bosco really admired him because Comolo was very prayerful. He was very disciplined. He practiced a lot of penance. And Bosco admired his spirit of renunciation. And this was done because of his love for God. Both of them were preparing to become priests. And they had conversations. And one of the conversations ended up in them making a deal that they both wanted to go to heaven. But whoever died first, the survivor would pray that the deceased one would make it to heaven. So it happened that Luis Comolo was struck with a very serious sickness. He was struck with a fatal illness, and he got worse and worse. Such that Luis Comolo, who was one of the best friends of Don Bosco, he died. And Bosco suffered because he lost his friend, but he prayed for him. Within a very short time, in the dormitory, Don Bosco heard a loud noise. It was like horse galloping. Horse galloping loud, dragging their chariots. Then all of a sudden, there was a moment of silence, and Bosco could hear in a loud voice, "Bosco! Giovanni Bosco! I'm saved! I'm saved! I'm saved!" And that was his friend, Luis Comolo. It said that Bosco was so shook by the noise he heard and the loud cry of Comolo that he became sick for a couple of days because of the sheer emotion of that event. But I think it's a really good story illustrating the purpose of our life is, as we know, in principle and foundation, we're here to be saved. We're here to become saints. We're here to get to heaven. But also that we should have a real longing for heaven. We should have a real longing for heaven. And my friends, I really believe if we think about heaven as our eternal home, and we do all we possibly can to get to heaven, to avoid sin, to pray, practice penance, receive the sacraments, say a rosary, trying to love each other as Christ wants us to love each other, we can do that. Then, like St. Paul, we will be with the Lord. But we should long for heaven. For that reason, St. Paul resigns himself to stay on earth, to serve God, and to serve others. So my friends, while we have the opportunity, while we have health and opportunity, let's do all we possibly can. Let's do as much good as we possibly can in the few hours, days, months, years that God has given to us. While we have the opportunity, let's do as much good as we possibly can. St. Philip Neri would say to his companions, when are we going to start doing good? Even though he and his companions had done a lot of good, he'd say, when are we going to start doing good? So every day, he'd encourage his friends to do as much good as possible. Paul says, do good, especially to those of the household of the faith. Now, the responsorial psalm is Psalm 42. Psalm 42, verse 1, really illustrates my point all the more. It says, as the hind, what is a hind? As a deer. As a deer longs for the running waters, so my soul longs for you, O God. I thirsted my soul for God, the living God. When shall I go and behold the face of God? So that's a real reflection on St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. Let's try to imagine, try to use our imagination and to construct that scene. Try to imagine a deer who is wandering through the desert, we'll say, why don't we say maybe in Arizona? And it's the middle of July. And it's a very hot day. And there's a deer is wandering through the desert. It's a hot day, hot and humid. Beyond 100 degrees. The deer is wandering through the desert all day. The sun is getting hotter and hotter. But at the same time, there's no water. So the deer is wandering from the crack of dawn to midday. Into afternoon, into late afternoon, and evening, and he's wandering, and there's no water. Finally, after walking the whole day, as the sun is going down, this deer is aware of forest and vegetation, and it can hear the rushing of waters in the near distance. So it draws close, and sure enough, there's a forest, there are trees, there are plants, shrubs, ferns. But most important, entering into this forest, there is a running stream of cold, fresh, limpid water. What is that deer going to do? Even though he's tired, he's going to be rushing toward that running stream. He'll lower his mouth to the running waters, and he's going to be drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking drafts of water to his heart's delight until he's satisfied. So, my friends, I've given you a more graphic, detailed explanation of that verse, which is Psalm 42, verse 1. Trying to connect it with St. Paul, who longs, who yearns to be with Christ. As a deer yearns for running water, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord my God. So as Paul yearns for heaven, so the deer yearns and thirsts for heaven. So it should be in our case. That the most ardent, fervent yearning of the human heart should be that we will be with the Lord. That we will be with the Lord for all eternity. My soul is thirsting. There are biblical passages that present the whole idea of thirsting. For example, the Israelites in the desert were thirsting for water, and Moses struck the rock at Meribah and Massah, and water came forth from the rock. Paul will say that that rock was Christ himself, the fountain of living waters. Think about the idea of thirst and some of the biblical passages that present the whole idea of thirsting. Another one would be John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and if you've seen Jonathan Rumi's Chosen, this is really well depicted. John chapter 4. It's the woman at the well. That's right. It's the woman at the well. So Jesus, traveling through Samaria with his apostles, the apostles go into town to get provisions. Jesus stays at Jacob's well, and this woman comes at midday to seek out water from the well. And Jesus says, "Woman, give me to drink." Woman, give me to drink. She's surprised because a man, a Jew, a rabbi would speak to her as such. And he said that if he had waters such that if she would drink it, she would no longer have thirst anymore. He was speaking about the water, the living waters that would be the Holy Spirit. Now, St. Augustine says this, and this can be found in the Catechism of the Catholic Church in the fourth part on prayer, related to thirst. St. Augustine says, Jesus, he hungers that we hunger for him. Jesus hungers that we hunger for him. Jesus thirsts that we thirst for him. May we hunger and thirst for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then there from the cross, there in the cross, so Jesus hangs on the cross between heaven and earth. He speaks seven times. And as Fulton Sheen says, he ascends the pulpit of the cross and gives his most eloquent homily or sermon from the pulpit of the cross. And one of the words of Christ would be, I thirst. I thirst. So Augustine would say, commenting on this, Christ thirsts that you thirst for him. Christ hungers that you hunger for him. Let's develop this theme a little bit more. The whole idea of Psalm 42, my soul is thirsting for the living God. There's another parallel passage of great importance. And this parallel passage is taken from John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And it is the bread of life discourse. It's a bread of life discourse. Which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says this. I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life. Will have everlasting life. And I will raise him up on the last day. I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Your fathers ate the bread in the desert, the manna, but they died. But whoever eats and drinks what I will offer will have everlasting life. So, my friends, we should be longing and thirsting for heaven but also we should be longing and thirsting for the greatest of all the sacraments. We should be longing and thirsting, my friends, for the Holy Eucharist. For the Holy Eucharist, which is the body, the blood, the soul, the divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May we hunger for this, the greatest gift of Christ that He's given to us in this world. May we hunger to go to daily Mass. And to receive this great gift, which is God Himself. How good God is. How good God is that He's given us so many gifts. He's given to us. Thanks be to God. He's given to us, thanks be to God, Mary, to be our mother and our queen. But also, He's given to us Himself. He's given to us Himself in this greatest and most sublime of all gifts, which is the gift of His real presence in Holy Communion. So our Lord hungers that you hunger for Him. He thirsts that you thirst for him. My friends, over the years, I have given retreats in different countries. And I've given retreats to the missionaries of charity of Mother Teresa in Argentina and Chile, but also in Paraguay. If you've ever gone, if any of you have ever gone, had the privilege of visiting one of the convents of the missionaries of charity established by Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta. If you've ever had that privilege, the nuns welcome you into their home. They'll usually take you into the chapel so that you can visit the Eucharistic Lord. What you're going to notice is the great poverty of these nuns, that they live a life of great detachment. And you enter into the chapel. There are no pews. There are no kneeling benches. There are no chairs. But rather, you enter and there's just a rug. That's it, the rug. Then you got the altar. You'll have a statue of Mary, the Sacred Heart. Very simple. However, in all the chapels, there beneath the cross, you're going to see two words. Those words beneath the cross are, I thirst. I thirst. Jesus thirsts. That's very interesting because part of the essential charism of Mother Teresa is the fourth vow to serve the poorest of the poor. The poorest of the poor that often are, they have actual physical hunger and thirst. But also the charism of Mother Teresa is to slake or to satisfy the hunger and the thirst of Christ. First and foremost in the Eucharist. First and foremost in the Eucharist. Then after they have satisfied their great yearnings and longings for Christ by going to Mass and receiving Christ fervently in the Eucharist, then they're rendered capable of seeing Christ in the distressful disguise of the poor. I repeat, after they have slaked their hunger and thirst by receiving the Eucharist and satisfying the hunger and thirst for Christ, because Christ hungers and thirsts that we receive him with great love. Once that's done, then they are rendered capable of being able to see Christ in the distressing disguise of the poor, in the homeless, in the naked, and the thirsty, and the prisoner, and the drug addict, and the alcoholic, and the person wandering aimlessly in the world, not loved by anyone. So Mother Teresa would go on to say that people are dying because of a lack of love. But the love that they give to others first has to be experienced by the fact that they experience the love of Christ. And they love Christ in the Eucharist. They love Christ in his body, blood, soul, and divinity. So, my friends, we've had a very good conversation today. We started off by talking about St. Francis de Sales and his being saved by Mary and praying the Memorare. We talked about St. Paul in his letter to the Philippians. And his longing to be with Christ in heaven, but it's necessary that he stay for the benefit of the people. Finally, we've talked about Psalm 41, verse 1, which is as the deer or the hind. The deer yearns for the running streams, so my soul yearns, longs for you, O Lord my God. And then we talked about the whole biblical concept of thirst. Remember the words of St. Augustine. Jesus hungers that you hunger for him. Jesus thirsts that you thirst for him. And I'd like to give you my priestly blessing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.